It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 305. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Obviously, a lot of Mets, as we saw them lose the second game of the Wild Card Series last night. After leading in the eighth inning, Phil Maton came in, gave up a game-tying home run, was allowed to stay in, gave up a game, what ended up being losing home run. And the Mets now will face elimination in a Game 3 out in Milwaukee, with Quintana on the mound, with the bullpen, other than Maton, probably ready to go. Buto should be ready to go. Even David Peterson could be ready to go. Diaz could give you 2 innings. And a lineup that just needs to flat out be better. And I know they've scored a ton of runs over the last couple days, and it's, whether it be Monday or the day before yesterday in Game 1 of the series, but they have not really driven the baseball. And Pete Alonso, numero uno, needs to show up. Now, listen, Alonso has, even Lindor hasn't gotten a hit in this series. He's gotten some walks. I believe sacrifice fly, scored some runs. He's had somewhat of an impact. Plus, he's played great defensively. But even he needs to do something. For me, I'm looking for Lindor and Alonso to come through in this game like Lindor always has, and hopefully Pete to step up. And then Diaz, obviously, the back end of the bullpen is going to be big. But they had an opportunity to end this thing with a 3-1 lead, a 3-2 lead, and couldn't hold on. And couldn't put the Brewers away and gave them life. And now they will face elimination tonight at 7:08. And I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for the game. There's nothing better in sports than elimination games. And we did talk about the Yankees as well. We'll take your calls, 888-808-1019. And just for me, the Yankee story right now, you know, we'll get to a little bit more of the what's going on with the team and first base and everything we got tomorrow. And then the game is obviously Saturday. They know it's going to be the Kansas City Royals, who took down the Baby Birds, this team that the championship window is wide open while the Yankees championship window is closing. All the great young prospects, all the great young players for the Baltimore Orioles. This team can't win a playoff game. They're 0-5 in the last 2 years. And they get swept by the Kansas City Royals, scoring 1 run in the entire series. And so now it's Kansas City against the Yankees. And more than that, it is nothing but AL Central teams left. And because I do my handy-dandy scorebook every single day, well, I shouldn't say that. I miss a lot. But because I do my scorebook a lot, And at the top of the scorebook, it has, you know, the standings. You write in the standings. You also write in how your team is, your team's actual standings against how they are home and away, against the East, the Central, the West, AL, NL. And because I've written that down so many times, I'm well aware of how much they have kicked the Central's ass this year. I know they lost by 10 runs to the White Sox, and that was embarrassing and all that. But the Yankees, against the three teams that are left, the Royals, Detroit, and Cleveland, the Yankees are a combined 13-6 against those three teams this year. 13-6. And I believe that Detroit series around Labor Day, or whenever, well, the end of August, the Williamsport game, that's the only series among the teams that they actually lost. They've won every other series against those three teams. This, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be cakewalks. They're not going to win every game by 7 runs. No one's saying that. But this is the best path the New York Yankees have had to get back to the World Series in a long time. It's the first time in a long time they've been the number one overall seed. They'll have home field advantage in every series. And they're playing inferior teams. There's not a single team you can point to and say, well, that they are just as good or better than the New York Yankees. There isn't one. The Yankees are better than all of them. 888-808-1019. So now is, this is the year. So I understand a lot of Yankee fans have trepidation trying to get behind this team. They have no faith and no confidence. And it's, if they lose, it is going to be because the Yankees beat themselves. I doubt very much that Judge has a great series, Soto has a great series, the offense, you know, scores, and the Mets and the Yankees pitch fairly well. And, you know, I don't think just they're going to be shut down by great pitching and beat, and you're going to leave the series going, wow, what are you going to do? The Royals are just freaking great. Like, that's not going to happen. It's going to be the Yankees beating themselves, running out into outs in the base path, making poor decisions defensively, throwing to the wrong base, errors from Gleyber Torres, Judge not hitting, all of it. That's how they'll lose. It won't be because of the 6-day layoff, and it won't be because of the opponent. It's because of them. But maybe, just maybe, this is the year. They have Juan Soto. I think they do have the deepest rotation of the bunch. I think the back end of the bullpen is pretty much as good as anybody else's other than Cleveland. And right now, it just feels like the Yankees are poised to get back to the World Series and so on. And if they don't, it raises a myriad of questions about the manager, about the way the team is built, about the captain. A lot of things. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Paulie in Hartford. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I'm your age. I work overnight, and I got an off night tonight, but thank God for your show. I can, on a night like this going into tomorrow, I cannot sleep. And yeah. I have a question. I'm doing laundry. I'm dusting. I can't
oh,
sleep.
Wow.
But thank
don't,
God.
Don't, I hope my God wife isn't listening, because those are things I get, I get in trouble for never doing. And you're doing it in the middle of the morning.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do the laundry. The I hate folding. And I don't know what it is. You know, it's one of those things, and we all do it, but, like, I've mastered the idea of just being bad enough at folding, where she'll just rip it from me and say, all right, enough, because, like, she's a psychopath and everything needs to be perfect, and I've mastered to just get it just wrong enough where she's like, all right, give it to me. I can't look at you fold those things. I'm like, okay.
We're in the same boat. She'll refold it.
Yep.
I got one Mets question and one Yankees question for you. I'm going to start off with the Mets one.
Okay.
Buddies who are diehards, a couple of them that will talk during the playoffs that are from the 60s. I mean, they've seen the 60s. I didn't.
Okay.
I was thinking I'm your age.
And, that's what I'm saying. Wait, you got 60-year-old Met fan buddies? Are you hanging out at the racetrack?
Yeah, they're from that era. Okay. And then I got a couple of buddies who, you know, our age who are diehard Met fans.
Sure.
The question I have for you on the Mets, to start with that real quick, is that some of my buddies who are older wanted to go for it tonight and bring in Diaz and say, you don't play for tomorrow. And I feel like the guys who are diehard Mets fans my age, were like, it's okay tonight. Let's bring in Maton. Let's stick to the plan. Just mm-hmm. want to hear your thoughts on that before my Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a I think they were going for it tonight. I think they didn't want to bring Diaz into that situation. They weren't going to pitch him for six innings.
Yeah.
Six outs. I don't know why I always say that. For six outs. And they felt like they were better off waiting for the ninth for him, and they trust Maton. Now, I do agree you managed the game slightly different. That there's just no way around it. There was more urgency in the way the game was managed by Milwaukee than the Mets, because it's just a fact. They couldn't afford to lose, and the Mets still have today. Like, there is something to that. So for me, yeah. like, the only question is, once Maton gives up the home run, right? And they have the opportunity. He gets the double play. He's faced three batters. You can pull him. Do you go to, like,
who do you go to?
Like, for the older gentlemen that you hang out with who want to go yeah. for it, they would argue to bring in Diaz in that moment and try and do whatever you can, bring in your best pitcher to keep the score tied, because you want to treat it like a game you can't afford to lose, where I don't think that's how it should have been managed at all. Because you do have tonight, and you can't bring in Diaz into a situation where even if he does his job, you can still lose. I'm only bringing in Diaz. Now, tonight's different. Tonight, you went through your relievers. It's the ninth inning. Game's tied. Now, I need Diaz. I got to do everything I can to give my offense an opportunity to win the game. But last night, knowing I have today available to me, I'm not bringing in Diaz unless I know yes. if he does his job, I win. Or at least I keep the lead for the next inning. Like, I can't go into a situation with Diaz and go, oh, great, Diaz gave me six outs and perfect. It took him 30 pitches, and I don't know if I'll have him tomorrow, but Diaz did great. And then I lose in the bottom of the 12th with young pitching. Like, I can't do that.
Yes, and I was, you know what, and another thing was, I was a little bit surprised that he actually went to Stanek in the 7-2, and he looked good. So that is one positive.
Yeah. No, definitely. The bullpen's locked and loaded now. I think you're probably going to have Buto. I don't know if you're going to have him for a lot, as you might normally, but you're going to have Buto. You'll probably have Stanek. You'll have Diaz for multiple outs, multiple innings. You'll have Peterson back there. Like, you're as good as in the bullpen as you've been, other than you don't have Maton.
The only good thing, my last Met point is, going into tomorrow, which I do like, is having the two lefties available with Quintana. He looked great. It wasn't his fault Saturday night, Chris. He pitched great. They didn't hit. And, yeah. and if you got Peterson on short rest, the only good thing I like with the lefties is to hopefully neutralize the running game, because the Brewers love to run.
Right.
So hopefully with the lefties, they can at least keep them in check
yeah.
and then give the offense a chance. Yeah, I like the lefties tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You threw a lefty last night as well. I think both teams have done in these two games have done a pretty good job curtailing the run game. Like, they've been each team has thrown guys out. It's the catchers have done a good job. The pitchers have done a good job, and both teams have been aggressive. You know, taking the extra base, and so they're
the biggest thing.
They played crisp baseball.
Biggest thing coming in this Brewers series was totally worried about the running game. So hopefully they can neutralize that going into tomorrow.
Yeah.
Keep them in check and then give the bats a chance to get going a little bit more. I just hope that we didn't leave too many runners on base tonight and they can keep it going tomorrow and capitalize. My thing with the Yankees is, the Kansas City can't hit themselves out of a wet paper bag.
Yeah.
So that's a good matchup. And I think, I mean, Cole is Cole. I think Luis Hill is going to great postseason. I mean, I think he's poised and ready to just absolutely take the stage and be a guy in New York that is a true ace and might be the MVP of the postseason here for all of baseball. But my question to you with the Yankees is: Do you think they're going to go with Dominguez or Verdugo on the weekend?
Yeah, that's the question. In left field. Yeah. And first base is a question, too. They've been working everybody out there. I'm hoping it's Dominguez. I understand the other side of it. I totally understand the other side of it. Because now you're looking at, like, if you look at this team, you've got first base that I think is going to be Oswaldo Cabrera, but it could be either him or Ben Rice. Neither of them are very good defensively. They might not kill you, and we all know first base, for the most part, is an easier position, but you got those two guys at first base, so you're not good defensively at first. You got Jazz Chisholm, who's capable of the extraordinary, but is also just new to the position and has made a few errors. And I don't know if you can trust him implicitly. So you've got an issue defensively at third. Gleyber Torres leads Major League Baseball in errors at second base. Then you go to right field and Juan Soto, who is an experience. For the most part, I thought he's played well defensively this year, but we've all seen he could be capable of misplaying a ball out in the outfield. Just awful. And Judge, I'm actually curious to see how Judge plays center field in the postseason, because I honestly believe he's taken a step back defensively because he's trying to stay healthy. I think there are balls he could get to. I think there are he has played the position in prior years with more reckless abandon, and this year was a little bit more reserved, and it's cost him defensively, but ultimately it's a smart decision. But I would call him a fair center fielder at best. Fair. He's a passable, serviceable, decent enough center fielder. So you're talking about a decent center fielder, a bad right fielder, a rough defensive situation at first base, another player at second base who's capable of making the big-time play but is also prone to the easy error, and a third baseman that is brand new to the position. That's third, first, second, right field, center field, where you could argue the Yankees are below average defensively. You're going to add left field to it too and have a guy out there who's dropping pop-ups? I understand that. I understand how many poor defenders can you have on one field. I get it. But at the same time, I just cannot get it out of my mind how every year that they lose, it's because they don't have enough offense. Every single year. And I don't care they've added Juan Soto. Until it kills them, I want Dominguez. If Dominguez is out there and in game one he makes two or three errors and costs them the game and I have to adjust, then I'll have to adjust. But for me, I want the better offensive player out there. So I'm hoping it's the Dominguez. And then the same thing at first base. I know that everyone's making a big deal out of Ben Rice hitting a home run off of Cole in warm-ups the other day. I think Oswaldo Cabrera has proven to be the better offensive player, certainly against right-handed pitching. As a left-handed hitter, he's been good this year. He's got an OPS of like 740. I mean, he's been a slightly above average major league hitter from the left side. I think he should be the guy. I also think he's probably their best option defensively. He's a wizard. He's very good at, you know, if a ball's hit to him, I have more confidence in him making the play than anybody else. You know, around the bag, with footwork around the bag, I'm not sure, but I would trust him over Ben Rice, who's relatively new to the position, who's been catching most of his career. So, that's the one situation. Defensively, I'm worried about this team. I have to make every decision I can, though, about what's best for the team offensively, and then see where the chips fall. And if things dramatically, you know, show themselves that they're major problems holding us back, then I'll adjust. But I want to be offensive. But, yeah, I mean, they can't hit. They're the 20th ranked offense in this league. They have two hitters. And I know Pasquione, or whatever his name is. What's his name? Pascatino. I know it was close. Pascatino was back from injury a little early. He's probably their third best hitter. He came up with a single in this game against the Orioles. But it's obviously it's Witt and Salvatore. That's it. It's Witt and Perez. Those are the only two guys that really scare me. This Yankee team has to dominate this series. Dan in Belmore. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, T-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. A couple quick points about the Mets game. I know Mehdi's getting a lot of slack for his bullpen management, but sometimes you do have to not get lost in all this, but sometimes you do have to tip your cap to Churio. That dude's a hell of a player, especially at 20 years old.
Yeah, I mean, those are two big home runs in this game, Oppo. And I do think there were some mistakes made. But, yeah, they did a good job. And Maton's been their guy. I have a tough time screaming about it when he's been their guy. They didn't go to their fifth-best reliever. They went to their guy.
Yeah, to me, I mean, Mendoza really had three options. It was either go with Stanek another inning,
Right.
Which, I mean, he was rolling. I would have probably leaned towards that.
Okay.
Bring in Maton, which he chose to do.
Yep.
Or bring in Diaz early and figure out the ninth, depending on how Diaz's eighth go.
Right.
His eighth inning goes.
And honestly, my favorite option
of those options.
Yeah. My favorite option of those three is the Diaz.
All three of those options, I would have stuck with Stanek.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have stuck with Stanek personally, and batter by batter. The real issue is, okay, Mendy made that decision to go with Maton. I really don't have a problem with that. Like you said, he's been the guy. So, you know, he had a plan, it seemed like, and he wasn't veering off that plan. Maton was coming in after Stanek went,
yeah.
I think he threw 11 pitches, nine of them for strikes, mm-hmm. on 1-2-3. So he brings Maton in. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is not having someone ready if things went wrong, which they did, and quickly. So he gets left in, and then, you know, the game, a two-run shot from the guy that comes in off the bench, and now you're stuck with, you have three outs to go, and, you know, you already have your defensive lineup in.
Yeah.
The other issue was, moving forward now, tomorrow, you know, the Mets all year have given me no reason not to believe in them, so am I
right.
a little nervous? Yeah, of course, it's win or go home.
Sure.
What I'm nervous about now is Quintana.
Right. I think that's fair. I think as much as the offense struggled in this game last night or yesterday and you couldn't figure out a way to get a run across after the third inning, 2-for-11 runners in scoring position, Pete Alonso, the whole nine, I agree with you. My biggest fear, and I don't know how warranted it is, but my biggest fear is that he gets blown up in the early innings. So, I mean, I think that's... In these games, you're always worried about your starting pitcher getting blown up. But I do have confidence that they'll bounce back offensively on some level. I don't know if they'll go out there and score eight runs again like they did in game one. But I do expect them to be better with runners in scoring position. I expect them to drive the baseball, someone to hit a home run at some point in the series. Like, I do think the offense will come through a little bit more than it did yesterday.
Pete needs to hit one.
Well, if Pete could ever hit a home run that gives them the lead, even if it's early on, like it doesn't have to be a heroic seventh, eighth inning. Like if Pete hits one in the third inning to give them a 2-0 lead, I think that would really go a long way for him, go a long way for the team. Like, because they can sense it too. Like you can sense
for him
it.
Especially. Just take the weight off his shoulders.
Yeah. Like it would just be, he needs it. Like, now if they're up 7-0 in the sixth and he hits one, maybe it doesn't. I mean, they're clearly going to win the game, or at least you feel good about it, but I don't know how it impacts them moving forward. If he hits a big home run in this game, and again, for me, a big home run is to give them the lead at any point. If he hits a 3-run home run in the first inning, that's a huge, I mean, it's a huge, huge home run. If he can hit a home run that gives them the lead and you can feel good about that moving forward, it obviously helps you win this game, and then it hopefully turns him around for the next series. So I'm looking for Pete to have a big night. I think he needs it desperately. I think Lindor, who's had a quiet two games, again, brilliant. The home run on Monday against Atlanta is the biggest regular season home run in Mets history. He's been the MVP. I'm not going to get on him, but, you know, he's been the MVP. They need him to continue to be so. And he's been relatively quiet. He hasn't done any. It's not like he's done nothing. He's walked a little bit. I think he had a sacrifice fly, scored a couple runs. Played good defense, so it's not like he's been invisible, but doesn't have a hit yet in the series. And then Diaz. Those are the three guys for me, plus Quintana, obviously. Your starting pitcher goes without saying. But I'm looking for six outs from Diaz, and I'm looking for big hits from their two star players. And I know right now it doesn't feel like he deserves that, to be called a star player from Pete Alonso, but it's been that way his entire Met career. He's been the face of this team for so many ways. And this, theoretically, tonight is the last game he'll ever play in a Mets uniform. If he does not want that to be the case, he's got to make an impact in this game. And moving forward, like part of it is getting him going. Because ultimately, it's not about winning this series and feeling like, oh, now they've really justified the season. It's about winning the World Series now. That's what it's about. You can make the argument getting into the postseason was its own thing to stamp the season. Make sure we all look back on it with you know, a fond memory and it meant something and it wasn't a waste and you're not pissed off when you think about it 2 years from now. Fine. But once you're in, now you're in it to win it. I'm not in it just to get past Milwaukee, otherwise it'll be embarrassing. Like, I don't care about that. Especially not with a manager that's the first year plus you love and a general manager who's just getting things going. Like for the Yankees, it's different because, one, you're the number one seed. You're not the sixth wild card as the Mets are. And two, you have decisions to make about this core group that's been together for a long time, and your manager who's been around here for a long time, and your GM, who I'm pretty sure was born a Yankee. So I'm pretty sure he was the general manager of the last time they played the Royals in a postseason series. But with this core, this group, this manager, this president of baseball operations, you know that there aren't major question marks about how things are done. So ultimately, it's not about doing anything other than now trying to win a World Series. And if they are going to do that, Pete Alonso can't be this version of Pete. They're not going to make it through. They're not going to make it through, theoretically, Philadelphia and the Dodgers if Pete Alonso is unimpactful.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's got to change.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 334, Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Talking a lot of baseballs, we will get ready for a game tonight, 7:08. Mets, Game 3 of the Wild Card Series, the only team to be in both Game 3s in the history of the Wild Card Series. The Mets, everyone else has been a sweep as San Diego took care of Atlanta, and they move on to take on the Dodgers. The Kansas City Royals swept the Baltimore Orioles and are taking on the New York Yankees, which should be fun. I'm looking forward to the series a lot. I'm looking forward to what the Yankees can do here. And I'm looking forward to Yankees-Royals. There's something cool about that. I mean, again, it's before our time, but I mean, Yankees-Royals was a legitimate rivalry for a long time. And obviously the George Brett game and the history between these two teams. And, you know, right during that, obviously in the middle of that 70s team, the 77-78 championship team that, you know, has so many storylines around it with Reggie Jackson and the straw that stirs the drink. And Billy Martin, the manager, and George, the young and, you know, crazy owner meddling in everything, and the great players, obviously, and Thurman Munson, and just how great those teams were, you know, went, got to the World Series in 76 to be swept by the, you know, the Big Red Machine, and then back-to-back titles in 77 and 78. Goose Gossage, all the, you know, just the 78 playoff game, Bucky Dent. I think I saw that was the anniversary, was yesterday, of the Bucky Dent game. Just so many fun things to think about that team. And then this rivalry, which was pretty much dominated by the Yankees until 1980. But it'll be fun to harken back to that. And I'm sure George Brett and some of those guys will be around the ballpark a little bit. Obviously, they will be, you know, and George will be there in Kansas City. But I think the Yankees right now are in a position to, you know, get their way to the World Series. This will be the biggest disappointment. There's no doubt. I have been disappointed, obviously, every year since 2009. Some hurt more than others. 2010 doesn't really, you know, they had just won a championship. I remember going with Bob Uecker, because that takes me back. Bob Uecker, obviously, of the update guy here at Knights for so many years. Him and Steve would just, you know, really give it to me, but Bob was just brutal. Bob got to the point where, unfortunately, I wish less people would get, but it almost felt like Bob took more pleasure in Yankee losses than he did Met wins. It got to that point. But I remember when they won the championship in 09, anytime from that moment on, for at least a year or two, anytime Bob would mess with me, I'd be like, they win him in bunches, Bob. They win him in bunches. I remember saying that all the time. They win them in bunches, Bob. And unfortunately, the Yankees have not won them in bunches. That's for sure. And 09 was more of an outlier.
So it's not Cashman's fault. It's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault. Oh, listen, I've jinxed them 100 times over. Yes. But yeah, anytime Bob would say anything, he would start to get on me about whatever it was. I'm like, they win them in bunches, Bobby. I was always saying that after 09. But like 10, 11, those series don't really bother me all that much. They didn't win, but I don't have any real, like, heartbreak memories from it. Then the Tigers, you start to get into 2012, 13, Derek Jeter breaking his ankle in game one, losing that game in extra innings, then getting swept. Obviously, the heartbreak of 17, and then to find out they were cheating, getting beat by the Red Sox. I was in Fenway with Evan in the 2001 wild card game. Like, there's a lot of heartbreak. As much as I will tell you that Yankee fans overreact and that it's good to be a Yankee fan and not bad, there's been a lot of heartache and disappointment since 2009. This will be the biggest. And I don't, like, I am positive, but I have to, like, you have to just be honest. Like, this will be the biggest disappointment if they don't win. There's no other year in recent memory that will be more disappointing than losing to either the Kansas City Royals, the Cleveland Guardians, or the Detroit Tigers. You can't lose to any of those teams. You just can't. Someone else mentioned payroll before, a caller before mentioned payroll. It's not just payroll. It's everything. It's payroll. It's the fact that, you know, the Royals lost 100 games last year, 106, I believe, to be precise. The Tigers were one of the worst teams, and, you know, were under 500 and were trading away pieces and just got hot here. And the Guardians, you want to talk about their payroll, they've been good all year, and they've managed to have a good record all year, and it came down to the wire to have the better record than them to have that home field advantage. But ultimately, you know, they've been banged up in the starting rotation. They don't have anybody start. They don't have a starter. They have a great bullpen, but they don't have any starters. And their offense, we've seen it. You know, the Yankees can shut down that offense. They have Ramirez, and Kwan is dangerous at the top of the order. Like, their next best hitter is just not very good in Naylor. Like, he's okay with his rockabye baby nonsense or whatever, but, like, they're not going to lose to Cleveland, are they? They're not going to lose to Detroit, are they? They can't lose to Kansas City, can they? Like, and if they do, considering where this franchise is, considering the vitriol around it already and the fan base's hatred of the organization, the disappointment and disbelief and really any faith in the manager, like Juan Soto's impending free agency. Like, this would be, bar none, the most disappointing season arguably in my lifetime. If they don't get back to a World Series this year. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I mean, I hope I'm not going to be disappointed later today. You know, I mean, you know, I didn't make it through the whole game just, you know, having to get some sleep. But, I started off well, but, I mean, you could see the tide was starting to turn a little bit. Midway through the game, and you're right. I mean, that inning where they had the bases loaded. I mean, you know, and it, yeah, even the inning prior to that, they're getting like little squibbers off the bat. I mean, they just didn't look like they were getting good at bats for those couple of innings. Yeah, and once that sixth inning was, you know, was done, I'm like, yeah. Then I really had a bad feeling.
Yeah, started to feel like the thing. It started to feel like three's not enough. It started to feel like we're going to need more runs, especially when they pull Manaea and you're like, geez, this bullpen's got to get me through the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. Like, I need four. Yeah. I need four innings out of this bullpen. I don't know if one run lead is going to be enough. Like, that's what it started to feel like. Every opportunity that they missed, it was like, oh boy, how many times can you blow it? I don't like how long can we expect this bullpen to be perfect?
Right, I mean, you know, you had that play with, Lindor makes up the middle and he, you know, shovels it to Iglesias and,
right.
You know, they didn't get the guy, but they still get out of the inning. I mean, you're like, okay.
Yep.
But, you know, like I said, it started to feel like, when the Mets were up and they were getting out of the inning and the pitchers were getting all pumped up, you could see it, you know, McGill and, Payapa, both coming off of, the ends of their innings, and they were all fired up, and I just felt like, you know, but now again, I didn't see the end of it, so obviously I know what happened after the fact, but you just got that sense, but I agree with you, you know, I mean, I've said it before, and I'm getting tired of saying it, but I mean, if there was ever a game that we need out of Pete, I mean, this is it. This is literally it.
This is it. Is Pete going to stand up today, Eric? Is Pete going to be there for the Mets today? Because theoretically, if he's not, like, this could be the last time he's ever in a Mets uniform. This could be Pete Alonso's last game. And amazingly enough, when I say that, I can't help but think how many Mets fans welcome it. I can't help but think of how many Mets fans would welcome the idea of Pete Alonso not being a Met next year. At the beginning of the year, I would have thought that number to be minimal. There was the outliers who go, well, are you really going to pay an aging first baseman with that body type who relies on his power? Like, is that really the kind of team we want to build here? There's a lot of things you could do with that money if you don't sign Pete. Like, there's the occasional outlier, but most, I would think, Met fans are, hey, this guy's got a chance to be the best position player we've ever had and break every record. And, you know, if we're not going to keep our homegrown stars, then what are we doing here? And, you know, you got an owner with these deep pockets. What's the point if you can't sign Pete Alonso? And, like, I would have thought that would have been the main thought process from most, if not all, Met fans. And now when I say this could be the last Met game Pete Alonso ever plays, I can't help but think that most fans would welcome it and are ready for it and want it. How things have changed in 1 year, and though he's had a down year, you look at his numbers, it's not like he's had just a god-awful year. He didn't hit 12 home runs and drive in 55 RBIs. Like, he's had a down year for Pete Alonso, but a representative year for a power hitter. Like, you know, it's not awful. And yet, it totally feels like he hasn't been a part of it. I don't think that's unfair. I think it's true. I think when you look, like, Tyrone Taylor feels more a part of the victories of this group and what happened here and the OMG Mets more than Pete Alonso. Iglesias certainly, you know, as I say OMG, Iglesias certainly feels more a part of it. right? The pitching staff, whether it be Manaea or Severino or even Peterson down the stretch here, they all feel more a part of it. Lindor, MVP candidate, obviously feels more a part of it. Vientos and what he's done since coming up and hitting his home runs and his 825 OPS and arguably being one of the best, if not the best, offensive third baseman in the sport and coming out of nowhere. Where to the point where I reference this a lot because it's amazing when we talk about where the Mets were and where the Mets are. I filled in for Sal. I think he was moving or whatever it was. The day they signed, I was here with BT when they signed J.D. Martinez. And Sal called in, played the music, King Cohen, all that I guess he did recently. I just heard the promo. But part of his rant was, see you later, Vientos. Back to the minors, you bum. Like, that's what the Met fan was thinking when they signed J.D. Martinez. At least we don't have to watch Vientos and Beatty. Who wants to see that in the middle? Like, give us a chance. And the guy's been unbelievable. Even Jeff McNeil was carried the team for a time more than Pete Alonso. Like, you could go down the line. Bader had more clutch hits in this season. Although he's gone ice cold for the last, you know, month or so. But Bader had more clutch hits over the course of the year than Pete Alonso did. Like, you have to go down the list before you come up to Pete's name when you're talking about impactful Mets this year, no matter how many home runs he hit or no matter how many RBIs he's driven in. And it just feels like after these two games, and if they get bounced here, there's not going to be a... You're going to have to go to an Alonso family picnic to find a Met fan who wants him to stay. It's crazy. Nick in Holdsville. What's up, Nick?
Hi.
Hi.
We're just talking. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not good. Watched the Met game, so terrible. But
sure.
You were talking about, you know, all the heartache you saw as a Yankee fan. I'm a 37-year-old Met fan. I know nothing but heartache.
I understand. I wasn't this trying to have a heartache competition. Nothing.
No.
I'm not Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon 3 trying to show you all my scars.
No.
Or Jaws.
I got that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is I have all these older fans. Oh, you got to relax. It's one game. You got to believe. What do I got to believe in? What has this team ever showed anyone who is under the age of 45 to believe in?
Monday.
They always find new ways to lose.
Monday.
New ways to choke it up. Okay, so they get
Monday.
One victory here.
This
Monday,
season.
And then they go ahead.
This season. This
and they
team,
choke
this
it
group.
Up today.
They
it
lost
doesn't
one
matter.
Game. They
I,
lost one game.
Yeah, okay. But what about 2015? That whole team,
they went to
right?
the World Series.
Look out! And then they blew it.
I know
you
that.
Know, that's my point. They always find new ways to lose, new ways to choke. They get you to they drag you in. They're like a girl, like a pretty girl who cheats on you, and then constantly tries to win you back over.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. That's what this team does to you. They go, oh look, we got this big victory against Atlanta. And I'll tell you what. I work in a pharmacy. We were all jumping up and down, celebrating because we're all Met fans back there. We were all excited,
Yeah. You
know. But then look, then tonight happens, and it just sucks all that life out of you again. You know, 2015, oh, they made that incredible run. They got the trade. They traded for Uribe and Kelly and Cespedes, and they, you know, we won first place chance throughout Shea Stadium as we were walking out of there. And then they get to the World Series and they whip your heart out again. And that's all this team has ever done to me my whole life. I have all these older baseball fans. Oh, you got to believe. You got to believe. Believe in what? I believe in what I know and what I see. And what I know and what I see with this team is heartbreak and just disappointment constantly.
I'm going
to let you go and respond to that.
Well,
but,
I mean, listen, I understand. But, like, this is a new team and this team has shown you resiliency and this team has been good in these games, and now they're finally up against it. And
you know,
but
the,
I mean, they lost. They lost one game last night.
They rolled over and died on the top of the ninth inning. They just rolled over and died. And then you have, you know, Iglesias up there looking like he's swinging for the fences. Now, like you have like 13 career home runs. You're not a power hitter. Try to make your contact. Like that's how you make your living this year.
He came
and he's out there just swinging for the fences, like.
Oh.
Just these teams are just going to constantly rip your heart out,
Nick,
and disappoint you. That's
Nick,
how I feel about that.
Nick, you got to stop, man. I'm sorry. I'm not saying you're wrong about what you've been through, and I apologize. I apologize that this team has consistently ruined your life to the point where you and your coworkers at the pharmacy that they're going to have to talk you out. They're going to have to help you out here and talk you back into the idea that the Mets have a chance here, because I know it's been a long, arduous history, okay? But history is just that. It's history. And I'm not telling you they won't lose tonight. They might. They might. They might win. And then they might get swept by Philadelphia. Or they might get swept by the Dodgers. Or they might lose in the World Series. I mean, it's not easy to win the World Series. Right now, if I had to choose between the field or the Mets, I'll take the field. Like, clearly. So whatever, I would take the field over any team right now. But, like, they lost one game. And that they were leading in the eighth inning. I know it feels like heartbreak, but, like, they outplayed him in game one dramatically. They were right there in this game, and Maton just didn't have it. And you got the better pitching matchup tonight, in my opinion. And all they have to do is go out there and win one game. Like, I would still be pumped about tonight. Like, if you feel like there's no hope in tonight because you know the Mets, like, all right, feel the way you're going to feel. It's a playoff series. I know they all seem to be sweeps, and the Mets are the only team that doesn't take it into. But they lost one game. They still have an opportunity to win tonight. And I would still believe, and Iglesias swinging for the fences. I mean, the guy leads the world in infield singles. He just did it the other night. The guy comes through constantly. You're going to get on Iglesias for like one at bat where he swung and missed and struck out? I know he didn't come through, but I mean, geez. Want to get on Iglesias? The guy's been incredible. The guy's hitting .350 as a Met this year. The guy beats out ground balls like it's his job. The guy plays unbelievable defense. The guy's been the heart and soul of the team in many ways. But he had one bad at bat where we're going to kill him? Like, we got to calm down. I don't know what's going to happen with the Mets tonight, but it has nothing to do with, you know, what happened in the World Series in 2015, that's for sure. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Yeah, it's like that. Everybody gets so upset. It's like, come on, one game, and if they go win the series, it's not the end of the world, right? In 2015, was it the end of the world, Chris? No.
Well, I believe we all woke up the next morning from, not everyone, I guess. But
I mean, Chris, they have to go out and play good ball. Defense, have good defense, and hopefully the pitching can get through. And hopefully the offense can get some runs. But the thing is, if they don't win, they didn't have this expectation this year. Am I right?
Yeah, you are, but I don't,
I know you want more.
Yeah, I definitely want more. Like, I was just talking to Eddie Scazzarian. I get his point. I do. Like, the idea that nobody expected this. They went, like Gary Cohen just said, from 0-5 to OMG. And it definitely does. Just making the playoffs does stamp the season as a fun one. It stamps the season as the beginning of what we hope will be a transition into consistently making into the playoffs with Stearns, right, who you feel uber confident about, and obviously the pockets of the owner. But that doesn't change the fact that they're better than this Milwaukee team, that they had game won last night, that they should be the team going to play Philadelphia and not Milwaukee. If they lose tonight, I think it's a major, major disappointment. And I don't think you'll be able to turn around that night or even the next day or even the next week and say, well, hey, it was a fun season. Some people might be able to. I wouldn't.
No.
Eventually, you'll get there because they did do enough to eventually get there. But it won't. It wouldn't be tomorrow morning, that's for sure.
Why didn't he put him in Diaz? How come he didn't take Maton out, being the fact that he saw that he didn't have it?
Yeah.
How come he didn't put Diaz in? Because Diaz was rested. He didn't pitch the day before.
No.
He was available, right?
He was available. I don't think you take... I disagree with you on when to use Diaz. There, Stu, and thank you for the call. I know you probably want to talk Yankees, but I'm up against the break. You can always call me back tomorrow, but we got plenty of time about the New York Yankees. I can't go to Diaz once I bring in Maton. Then I don't agree. Once Maton gives up the home run that ties the game, I'm not bringing Diaz into a tie game. I'm not. Especially with the amount he's pitched and then possibly jeopardize his effectiveness, because I think he would be available. It's a must-win game. But you jeopardize his effectiveness by pitching him again last night? I only pitch Diaz if I'm securing a victory or securing a lead. I'm not pitching him in a tie game where he could be great, do his job, and I still lose. I can't. Not with today here. I can't treat that game like it was Game 7 of the World Series. It's not. Tonight is Game 7 of the World Series. Tonight, I make every decision to keep the game close, keep the game tied, whatever, but I can't bring in my closer who I've thrown multiple innings, a bunch here, and you know, got exhausted on Monday. I can't throw him last night to try and keep a game tied, you know, on the road. Like, I can't. Can't do it. Tonight, you can. Tonight, you do whatever you have to keep the game close, and we'll see how they handle it. 888-808-1019. All right, we come back. We'll continue to talk Yankees and Mets, obviously. Take your phone calls on that. A little bit of Jets. A little bit of Giants. We do have all day tomorrow on a Football Friday to get into those two, as the Jets will head to London and take on the Minnesota Vikings early in the morning, 9:30. And then, of course, the Giants, and we'll talk about this a little bit, whether or not Neighbors, it sounds like they're going to be without their star rookie wide receiver. How will that will impact them heading into Seattle? Here's a clue. Immensely.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.